of her beneficiaries. That's 50 states, contact, and a few other things. But she says that she has now gotten her trust, and secured these documents, these values in that trust. Well, Mr. Bush has just been waiting for her to do some stupid thing like that. But at this moment, she knows more than anyone in the universe. But that's not what bothers me about the document. It is so off the wall that I hesitate for us to run it. So I hope that you at the paper will seriously look at that, and maybe we could make some announcement regarding it next week after we've had more time to look at it, because it goes into Herman's murder and them trying to murder her and so forth. No, they're just waiting to get their hands on that trust. What does that do to us? Not a thing. What does that do to any documents that our people might be utilizing? Not a thing. Are they being totally ignored, denied, or whatever? No. But neither is anybody paying for them, which is the ultimate thing. Show me the money. So nothing's gone away. Everything is rippled out farther and farther. And we've gone right back to searching for project funding, which one or two items look a little bit promising. And of course, the motion picture studio is the largest, and it's like the gemstone. So there's quite a lot of interest going on with it right now. And I think that would be sufficient funding to balance everything. And that's why I'm interested in beginning to set forth some arrangements for allowing you to refresh yourself about corporate management and thus and so. Some of you have worked and volunteered. You'll be getting money back. How do you want it handled? You may want another corporation so that you can deal with one and have your family assets in another. There are all types of ways to make it feasible and allow you to hold it. And the major way, of course, is to accept it. Whatever is coming to you, say you have XYZ Corporation. I used Margie in my writing because she could have the Pincushion Corporation or something, because she's quilting all the time. Or Needle in the Haystack, because that covers everything. That could be for quilting or looking for information. She could be a consultant or a private investigator. And instead of taking whatever is owed her as a payoff so that she's liable to the IRS, she takes it as a loan. A note is exchanged, and at some point out there, it goes away. It just goes away, because Margie is not a good private investigator. And she never really even is smart enough to get her corporation going. And they take all her money down there while she's trying to build a building. Nobody said you have to be smart. You can be a fool and stupid and keep your money. You can ruin your corporation and keep your money. So we need to know how to do that. Not just Margie. Margie knows more about it than almost anybody else in here. Now let's talk about our health. There's some serious, serious stuff coming down. One of the things that they have topmost on their list in Denver is biological stuff. And how do we get help to all of the nations? I mean, what they're trying to figure out is how to kill off all the nations. Well, see, when we've got somebody like Dorma, you've got a fungal infection, crossed with a pneumococcus, which produces pneumonia, and infected with a virus. These are man-made cuties. And when you can get that introduced into some lungs that are already compromised, like Della, who has really severe asthma, it begins to operate exactly like your disease called cystic fibrosis. And if they ever had sense enough, they would find that it is no different than cystic fibrosis. And the lungs cannot get rid of the mucus. And eventually, a cystic fibrosis patient will succumb to suffocation. And you can ask any one of you around here who's had this lately, what is the worst part of it? Even if you breathe enough, you do not get oxygen into your system, and you continually feel deprived. You have no energy because the heart, the body is trying to protect itself to the point where it will knock you out before it will allow you to compromise it enough to give you an arrest. It will collapse you first, usually. Well, how do you break this up? You've got a type of a situation much like the HIV virus, in that it creeps under the mucus covering, builds up its own little walls, and makes it impenetrable, so that no matter what you're getting into your lungs, it's not going through. This is just one. And usually, you see, a patient is nice enough to go to the doctor, get a shot, and if it doesn't respond right away, you end up in the hospital and you die of pneumonia. And that's the end of it. No autopsy, just natural causes, really, you know, upper respiratory infection. And if you can get it going on, and you people who know this situation can right back to Halloween when the demons were expected. Dorma was coming down with it then. So it's gone all the way through Christmas. Now it becomes a chronic infection. So nobody thinks anything about it at all, except poor dear finally died. No, I don't think so. Remember the out on Saturday, back on Tuesday? Zita's learning that. But you see, Zita is at least brave enough, willing to put herself out to come over here today. Now, the next situation that we have, that he knew all about these documents, a real student and practitioner of David Miller, so that he could show us how to set up documents. But that's not what happened. I mean, you got to do it yourself. And he's telling Doris that she's got to do this, and that you turkeys have to be prepared to go to jail. Well, she says, not me, Buster, you know. We have gone through 10 years with this one thing, and we're willing to do whatever is necessary to be done, but we thought you would show us how to do it. No, you have to learn yourself. Well, I would guess, since there is nothing else in the whole world going on except what these people want to create or present or develop, that's wonderful. They're your cases, you have to do them, he says. Well, then forget me. My goodness, if someone can't take these cases and set them up, and she said, I'm perfectly willing to go down to court and defend it, but something else Mr. Miller said you guys are missing, and that is that these should be cleared out before they ever get to court, because these are ending up actions against judges and so forth. And there's a whole diagram of charges and all of, well, it, you know, come on. When you are on a 24-hour schedule and you don't feel good, and every week a new book is coming out this thick, 3 inches thick. Every meeting they have, they rewrite the book. Well, Bruce has taken that and organized it at least individual sections. But even there, it doesn't seem to meet the requirements or what the lecture on the tape says. Go to page 302, and it doesn't have anything to do with the subject. Well, some way they have managed and reproduced the first document. It will be entered against Jason Brent, municipal court judge, from December 28, 1988. And I believe that Ray was able to calculate a basic fine or fee of $250 million just from the things Jason Brent did unconstitutionally, unlawfully, in that municipal court on the bench, in one little, tiny, short, aborted hearing. And there are at least five more of those. Now, my feeling is that this is a way to do it. Because there are charges. It isn't frivolous. These people are not marching on Denver with AK-47s. They're not in the militia or patriot movement. These are people damaged deliberately through a conspiracy with a cotton-picking little sniveling attorney. And my opinion of attorneys continues to diminish by the moment. So we shouldn't get started on that one. But if you can enter a document, it has to go to the federal court. Well, I don't think Judge Coyle's going to want to handle these. He doesn't know what to do, for goodness sakes, with the other ones he's got dangling there in front of him. So he'll probably recuse himself and it'll fall to some other federal court judge. So my feeling is, instead of allowing them to dismiss it offhand, is find some way, some legal term. And we run this past Bradley, and what does he say? Well, you can't do. Well, a contempt charge is different, but why is it different? Well, you probably could if you just figure out what. You see, US&P came with a motion for contempt of court and a motion for the judge to show cause why it is not a criminal contempt. And that hogtied that judge. He had to look at it. He had to decide what to do about it. So my suggestion is to find out some title that you can put. This is a motion. And please, I'm going to ask Ray to think about this very carefully. Set up your cover page so it is as close to looking like any other paper filed in there. And you see, after these people have been in so many times, they may not remember their names at first, but the minute they look at their paper, they know them. So, they're coming in proper parties or whatever you're going to call yourselves now, whatever you put on there. And whatever you capitalize or little letter, do it properly. But let your entire document look something like a regular document. Because doing it themselves, they have to give these people some leeway. I'm just a stupid pro per, and they said do it this way. And that's all I did, clerk, is just do it this way. And look, I read your regulations, and I got 900 copies here, and I need two or three certified, and I need this, and let them correct your language. Let them tell you how to do things, and it'll go. It'll ease right through, just like our new set of bylaws and articles of incorporation. We use the typical Nevada corporate bylaws, and underneath it we put the Inter-American Investment Corporation bylaws that puts us above the law. And once it's accepted by the Secretary of State, it's part of your, it's your law. It is your private law. Use your head. Use what they do. Only you do it, and you do it better. Now, if you get that document filed and you have more than just the charges against a Jason Brent, he's not even sitting on the bench now, so it isn't quite as awkward as if he were still there. On the other hand, neither is it quite as easy because he would still be doing what he's been doing against the law over there. He was an appointed judge in the middle of a term. Appointed by someone called Duke Majan, who had been paid over $50,000 from this man and his law firm. These don't look good, guys. And they know if this comes into that courtroom, issue does become a point before a jury. And fraud never expires. Neither does murder. But if you also require that judge to make a decision, even if it is just to tell you, oh, Mr. Proper, you can't do this. Fine, he's had to look at it. So stick something in there. Now you take lessons from George Abbott and David Horton. Put whatever the hell you want on there. You are assuming there are laws about this. And they're laughing at you. So cause something to be considered criminal here. Who knows? That federal judge may say this is criminal, Mr. Jason Brent. Especially when it gets to the next one and the next one and the next one where the man is actually removing documents from the files. And you see, something that doesn't need to come up now, but I'm going to put it in your heads for the case, is that William Cudd sent a signed letter and two receipts for the cashier's check. And don't you know that it was more the copy of the proof of sale funds than that original document or letter that caused Mr. Horn to remove it from the file? And how would you know that? That it probably was Mr. Horn? Because he was the only one the clerks could nail as having had the file. And he was sitting across the hall, very, very busy. And they all remembered the documents coming in. They had not even had time to latch them in the file. They had to take Ecker's copy, unsigned, of the letter from Mr. Cudd back and ask the judge. They said, the documents came. We had them. It's now time to go to court. Will you accept this copy? And Jason Brent agreed. Yeah, just stick it in there so we can get on through this. Well, see, it never even got into court. Stephen Horn had written another thing that he presented to Jason Brent during the lunch hour and slapped him on the back, old buddy, I don't think you know what you're doing. And it ain't going to be like you think it will. And it wasn't. And it hasn't been to this day. And the last thing they want to allow are Eckers to bring them to trial. It is going to blow it off right to the White House. So what is the judge, good old federal court, going to do? If he dismisses it, he knows you're going to come right back at him with a Title 42 and $250 million minimum in damages. Now we're up, hey, it's getting good, $500 million over one hearing. This is the only good that can evolve. You know you're not going to get any $500 million from any of these judges. But Jason Brent can never again serve as a judge. And neither would that judge who tossed it out. So this is the way you begin to clean up a system. And since there is a case, since this is not frivolous, and since you've not held an AK-47 to anybody, since you have not advocated subversion or overthrow the government or let's all go and blow up a building, it is a viable case. Why would a judge run the risk of throwing these old people into prison because they really thought they could get some constitutional law? I don't want any of you walking out there and being a martyr and not knowing what you're doing and, oh, well, just haul me off. There's not room for you in the prisons. Forget it. But speaking of, I would share, I think maybe if you have a space in the paper, one of the readers sent a copy of Ron Jackson's address, and many, many people ask about Ron all the time. So put a little box or something. And isn't it always the way it is, within 2 days, one day of each other, Gunther Rusbacher called. He's now worried about his soul and the fact that he was such a terrible crook. Those are his descriptions. And that all the Philippine situation was a lie and had to be. And E.J. shook his head because he had said it the very first thing when they're talking 500,000 tons of gold. E.J. said that's more gold. I don't care what kind of story they have. That's wrong. Oh, no, they argued. And now Gunther says, I'm so ashamed. I knew then it wasn't real. Well, you don't know now if he's real. He said, and I quote, living in England, in London, And actually, he didn't call collect. Now, that is really a wow for two reasons. If you're in prison, you have to call collect. And he actually gave a phone number and an address in Great Britain. And he has a new lady friend who is a motion picture producer. And he was sober and alert and clean. And he says, I have to make things right. He didn't suggest how he was going to do that. But that was the purpose, he said, of his call. Now, on the reverse side of that, he also calls another person that you would all recognize the name, so I won't mention it. He calls this person regularly, and one day he's in Maryland or Missouri, and the very next call, it might be only hours later, but he's in England, you know, and always these were collect calls. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And any time that you feel that you've been had, the lessons usually outweigh anything it's cost you, either in time or financially. These are real people. Gunther is exactly who he said he was. He just has a fried brain thanks to your government. And he's a good con man. Most intelligence operators are. They're trained to be. They're usually dashing, and they're all the things, you know, Errol Flynn would love to be. That's why they're so appealing. They're usually brilliant, and they're trained. And you needed some training. And don't write them off, because you stand to really win out of both of those. And I know you're saying we should live so long. Well, maybe by then you won't be counting every minute. You'll say, hey, golly. So back to the circumstance with David Miller and common law.
On the record or
on? This is just a discussion on the topic. I don't feel anyone, unless this is all you want to accomplish the rest of your life, and I'll tell you in this room, that can be your choice. And I certainly would abide by that choice. But you have other things to do. That is not our focus. There are hundreds of thousands of people that can do what David Miller offers you to do. There's nobody else in this world that needs to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So don't get your priorities wrong. And yet, if you don't begin to turn around that judicial system, there is no point in trying to sort out anything else, because you are political prisoners already. And it is enforced by your judicial system. So you've got to come on up here through it. And we're certainly willing to participate. But we can only participate peripherally. So we just have to wait and see how that unfolds. It is serious, serious consideration time. Well, we're going to play for you. And I want this taped to go out in the Word. Is an interview that Rick had with a nice patriot in prison. And let me tell you, it will curdle your blood. All because he and some of his people tried to utilize, essentially, not the Miller material. He knows about the Miller material, and he discusses it in here. But when you go off not knowing what you're doing, you're going to end up in prison. Or you're going to end up in a mental institution where this man is as we speak. You can't get out. You're crazy. You can't get out. They can always, without even trying you anymore, habeas corpus, what's that? You have no rights once they've got you. So you listen to this carefully, and it will keep you from making errors. And the biggest error it may keep you from making is, for goodness sakes, if you think you've got to have an arsenal, think again. You get yourself as the head of some militia group, you get your guns at home, and you have, listen to him when he speaks, he had cases of ammunition. And it's how many, 15 years per bullet? 15 years per bullet they can charge you. It isn't worth it. It is not worth it. So balance what you do. You have to have a case. And this is the second problem. Most people have no idea they even have a case. And so if you're going to dream up a case, expect to get thrown out of court. Legitimately. It happens. And we're willing to utilize it. We don't have a militia. We don't have kooky advocates of anything. But we do have some cases. And these buggers just keep getting worse and worse and worse. It's like frantic time. And colors will always show in the end. You can go so long covering. But then usually when it gets personal, my goodness, you find out what colors are on that chameleon. And that's called sorting. You just let everybody go until they show their own colors and make their own choices. That's what it is about. Meanwhile, all of the ones that seem to be under attack are also getting their testing. Are you going to break? Are you going to bend? Are you going to quit? What are you going to do? And lo and behold, guess what I get back? Well, I just don't have any alternative. I have to stay and do. Of course you do have an alternative. Well, it's not a suitable one. It's not suitable because it's not correct. But we all have to go through those steps. God doesn't make it a whit easier on one versus another to make those kinds of steps. Well, what's in it for me out there beyond? Well, what do you mean? Well, if I give to you, what are you going to give me back, sir? A bigger headache. What did you think? I'm going to keep you awake all night, every night, worrying about it. What do you expect? What did God promise you? Oh, man, we could go days on that one.
Thorny roses.
Prick your fingers. You wouldn't trade it for anything, or he wouldn't be here. You just wouldn't be here. And all I can tell you is we're going to do it. And then the next question is, yeah, when? And who says? And will we all be here? No. We all won't be here. And you're going to find that most don't want to be here. It just seemed like a good idea. And Laurie will be here Tuesday. Audrey's Laurie. I'm talking about moving on Tuesday. Anybody who can help unload, maybe let Laurie know. I think a very wise thing would be if we play that tape and EJ and Dorma just get out of here.
Can we have Ed first?
If you can listen.
If he can be here.
If you can find him.
He's right over there.
Well, there it is.
Hiding over here.
Oh.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for what am I ready for?
See, we're all prepared.
We're all prepared. We don't know what for, but we're prepared.
I assume that what Commander wants me to talk about has to do with what happened this week on Art Bell's radio show. There was quite a... Well, first, let me say something about the... our front page story this week in Contact is an important confirmation and testimony to what Commander has warned us about. And some time ago, the story is particularly on the upcoming potential of serious biological attack, biological warfare attack on this country, starting soon because of Islamic holidays later in July of this year and then coming up over the next several years. But this information, the accuracy of the information we're presenting, is part of a larger picture which Commander spent some great amount of time over the last several years helping everybody to see because of this recurring theme that all is connected to all. There, you have to understand the background of the Islamic people. You have to understand what it means to have a holy war, what it means to get retribution against the Khazari and Zionists and what they've done to hurt the Arabian people and steal their money, oil, however you want to look at the symbolism of that. But the particular information we're offering is very potent and was not presented until, even by the expert microbiologist, until the event we had in this country in about February of this year where some people were arrested for carrying ampules of anthrax and other deadly organisms within their bodies and as part of a group here to cause a problem. This verified information. I'm being vague on purpose, so you read it. I'm not going to give you the whole story here. But the point was that this biologist had this information several years ago, and here was the events on the news unfolding exactly as this biologist's Iranian friend said they would unfold. And so it was excellent confirmation, and when I saw it, it was very sobering because her words, this conversation that is relayed in the story, was precipitated by the World Trade Center bombing. And this Arabian lady said, we would never bomb a building. When it's time for retribution, it will be person for person. And that was a very important theme that Commander tried to get across it some time ago. Don't look for cheap shots. When these people decide to vent their anger, it will be a person for person retribution. So that's our front page story. But now I have to back up a little bit. There has been some great increase in the amount of earthquake activity again right recently, including some in right off of Catalina Island, the San Francisco Bay Area. It was hit there three times the other evening, probably to try to precipitate something, but because of the accuracy of the hits three in a row right on this particular fault off of Catalina. But in conjunction with that, Northern California is very active, as is Mammoth again, and that generally is indicative of the pressure building along the entire West Coast. So I was just told to toss that in before I get to what I'm trying to get to, which was this is the most interesting sequence of events, and it happened starting earlier this week on Art Bell's radio program. He had Richard Hoagland on again. It took Art several weeks to recover from Richard's last visit, which was, I told you about, where he accused NASA of outright murder. And, of course, Art gets very fidgety when people get right to the point on his show. He prefers to dance around a little more so he keeps his job. So this time Richard came on, and he outright said that the current Mars probe, which is scheduled to land on Mars on July 4th, will not be landing on July 4th any more than the official moon landing that was scheduled in 1969 that was supposed to land on July 4th didn't land until the 20th. He said these are cycles, these are secret Masonic symbolisms, these are the rituals of the ones controlling NASA, and they have no intention of having the Mars probe land on the 4th of July. It will land on the 20th because that's their important day. It has to do with where Orion happens to be in the constellations on the horizon. It has to do with 19.5 degrees, which is tetrahedral geometry, and the, we'll call it what Hoagland calls his hyperdimensional physics. These people are in a very interesting array of Masonic symbolism and physics, which he's been trying to educate Art's listeners through many sessions. However, what he said, and people called in and said, well, don't you think that since you spilled the beans on this, that they'll change it and they'll land it on the 4th of July? And he said, no, this is too important to them. This is their symbolism, their mission. They will not change the dates. Now, in the same discussion, and so Art's already fidgety, you can imagine, here comes some more direct, you know, accusation about NASA, about their Masonic connections, about their Orion connections, and about a change in the mission when nothing has been announced. Richard also said that in conjunction with this, there would need to be a distraction, if not one, several, because